Welcome to Non-Native, the podcast that shares conversations between immigrants, expats, and interlopers. My name is Sarah, and in November 2014, I up sticks from Bristol in the United Kingdom to move to the west coast of the United States. Moving meant leaving behind friends, family, and the country I'd lived in my whole life for the promise of new experiences, meeting new people, and adapting to a new culture. In Non-Native, I speak with women who have moved around the world in pursuit of love, work, happiness, or adventure. Hello, and welcome back to Non-Native, the podcast that shares conversations with female immigrants, expats, and interlopers. It's been just over a year since season two, a longer hiatus than I intended, and which honestly feels like a lifetime ago given how much 2020 has thrown at us so far. I hope you're staying safe and sane wherever you're listening from, and I'm so excited to share the stories of some fascinating women with you this season. We're kicking things off with Hayley, a British blogger and blog consultant now living in Bellevue, Washington. Hayley and I first met on Twitter years ago when we were both still living in Bristol, and I was delighted to chat to her about her new life in the States, some of her favourite British delicacies, and the nuances of the American healthcare system. Just an FYI that we recorded this interview in late March when quarantine orders were in full swing, so there are a fair few pandemic references in there. I hope you enjoy the episode, and if you do, please subscribe to Non-Native wherever you find your podcasts. Hi, Hayley.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining me on Non-Native.
We've been talking about it for ages, but yeah, we finally got sorted.
Yeah, I'm so pleased. Even in the middle of a pandemic, we've managed to make it work, which I appreciate.
It's probably easier at the moment because everyone's at home, so it's a little bit more flexible.
Good point. I've got like a captive market for future guests to no excuses not to join the Zoom call, or in this case, the podcast episode. So Hayley, we go way back. I think we met first on Twitter, and then when we were both bloggers in Bristol, in the West Country, in the UK. But since then, I've moved out to San Francisco, and a few years ago, you moved to the Seattle area of Washington, USA. So I was just wondering if you could tell me how you came to end up there.
Well, I mean, how far back do you want to go? I met my now husband, Alex, on Twitter, because I meet everyone on Twitter, in 2009. And he works for tech companies. He's always done tech stuff. And even back then, we always joked around and we were like, oh, if he got a job that meant moving to America, then we would get married and move. And I didn't actually think that would happen.
But then it did.
And I used to use that to put off things. Like, he was always pestering me to, not pestering, but he was always saying I should learn to drive. And in Bristol, I don't feel like you need to drive. And I was like, I'll do it if we move to America because it's so big, then I'll have to. And then, yeah, now I have to drive places and it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, America is definitely on a much larger scale than I think I appreciated before I moved here, for sure.
Yeah, it feels like I have to drive at least 10 minutes. And I live in Bellevue, but I don't live in the center of Bellevue. I live like 15 minutes outside. And I feel like I have to travel 10, 15 minutes just to get anywhere.
Yeah, you're quite in the suburbs, aren't you?
Oh, very suburb. It's a very strange. It's a nice neighbourhood, but it's very unlike anything that we have in the UK. There's a lot more community stuff here, which is nice, but it's very family orientated, and we don't have children, so this is not why I'm shrugging, and this is audio.
No, it's okay. So I know a lot of people, when they think of you and where you've ended up, they often think Seattle, but Bellevue is its own city with its own character. How do you feel about the relationship to Seattle and how people see that?
When I'm talking to people back home, then I say Seattle because I think that's easier for them to understand. It's kind of like saying I live in Bristol versus I live in Emerson's Green, which is a suburb. And, you know, a person that doesn't know the city isn't going to know the difference between living in the actual city versus living in the suburb outside.
Right, that makes sense. And so how long have you lived in Bellevue now?
We landed here in June 2017, so we're coming up for 3 years. We moved straight into the house that we're in at the moment, so that's kind of a bit unusual, I guess. We were lucky because Alex's boss, his realtor, was happy to help us find a house. So he did Facebook Live videos and showed us around places. And he is quite discerning, so he was saying, nope, I don't like this place at all.
Oh, wow. While you were still in Bristol?
Yeah. And then he'd upload them to a private group, and then we could watch them later and see whether we wanted to put an application in.
So you just had this realtor's like thoughts and opinions on all these videos of these properties?
Yeah, there was one that we always laughed about because it was a place up in Kirkland, which is north of Bellevue. And he was like, oh, it's a nice house. And he walked in, he took his shoes off. He's like, nope, I don't like this carpet. And like every time he went into a different room, he's like, I hate this carpet. Hate it.
Well, at least you know he's discerning.
Yeah. I feel good if we do buy a house with him now.
So you said it's coming up on 3 years since you've moved, and anybody who follows you on Twitter or Instagram will know that you are a big foodie and you have lots of opinions on British food versus American food. And I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what you miss from the UK.
To be fair, I have a lot of opinions on everything. I don't feel like we are missing a lot of food here, but it is difficult to get some of my favourite stuff. It's interesting to see the difference in other international foods compared to British foods. I don't feel like British food is kind of treated the same, if that makes sense. In the Bellevue, Redmond area, we have a lot of Asian people who come to work for places like Microsoft and Amazon. So we have a lot of shops and stores that cater to them. So it's probably easier for them to find the food that they're used to from home. But here we have two shops in a maybe 50, 60 mile radius that I can get British food from. And neither of them are very big. They're more like a little corner shop rather than a supermarket.
Right. And I feel it can often be quite stereotypical foods that are on sale as well.
Yeah, the shops are really nice, and I mean, I just went to one of them last week and got Easter eggs, which was amazing.
Oh, jealous.
And then the other one, I ordered Easter eggs to go to a friend who's in Seattle, and that was also great because they upgraded it because they couldn't find any of the small ones. But it feels a lot more like the one in Redmond has a little tea shop attached to it, and I tell people it's like, it's kind of a bit touristy. I'm British and I don't want magnets of red phone boxes.
Right.
I just want food.
Is there anything else that you're missing in general or right now?
Not really. Between the two British shops here and Amazon, I feel like I can get most things that I actually want. And we try not to only stick to British food, if that makes sense. You know, like the stereotypical expat that goes to Spain and then they only eat fish and chips or, you know, British food. We try not to do that.
God, I do love fish and chips, though.
I know. There is a place over on Bainbridge, which is by a guy from London, and his fish is amazing. The chips aren't chippy-ish. They're still good.
It's always the chips. They just can't get the chips right here. I found somewhere in New York that's like a proper British chippy. So whenever I'm lucky enough to go there for work, that's like destination number one. It's just eating fish and chips.
Oh, jealous. I went back to London in December because we needed to renew our visa. And Alex had to work, so I went to Bristol and then up to Chester, where I was born, where my school friends still live. And the first thing that I did in Chester was go to the chippy. Actually, no. First thing I did was have a Sunday roast with my best friend. And then the day after, I had a chippy with my other two best friends.
Oh my goodness. That is perfect. I just made a roast dinner a couple of days ago. And it was like best life decision I've made in the last few weeks, I swear.
We've done quite a few roast dinners for our American friends here. And they're like, why isn't this a thing for us? And I'm like, well, you should do it.
Yeah, you guys take a tip from our book. Although not every weekend, which is what my parents did. It's way too much fuss.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand how the parents did that.
No, every time I make one, which is probably twice a year, I just marvel at our parents who made all these roast dinners. So we've covered food. What other things do you miss?
It's kind of a cliche, but the health service. So 2 years ago, I think, 2018, yeah. We went skiing for the first time, and on my third lesson, I went up the hill, and then I came down the hill, and the guy was like, turn, and I was like, I'm trying to, and he's like, slow down, and I'm like, I'm trying to. And then I fell over and nearly wiped out a class of six-year-old kids.
Oh, God.
Which was hilarious. Who could all ski better than me? And I tore my ACL, which was when you came to visit me. I had surgery, and then a week later, yeah, you came to visit, which was awesome, but I feel it should come back because we didn't do anything.
Oh, well overdue. Yeah, well overdue a visit.
But that was my first experience, really, of how the American health system works. And it's been such a learning curve. Like, in the UK, you don't realise how you know this stuff, like how you know to make an appointment and where you go afterwards. And I mean, that's true of pretty much everything that you do when you move. I said that when we moved here, it's like learning to be an adult again, because all the stuff that you know as an adult in the UK is kind of irrelevant now. And yeah, so when I was having to learn how to make appointments and how to get referrals, and I have to pay to be seen and all that sort of stuff, it's strange.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think now more than ever, given the current situation that we're in, it's, and especially all the like clap for carers in the NHS that I'm seeing online, obviously we're not there, but it does bring into sharp relief how lucky we are with the NHS and just how different it is here for people who aren't fortunate enough to have health insurance.
Yeah, there was an advert last year, I think, or the year before, for it's not government. What is it? Senators, I think. And the Republican guy's thing was like, this Democrat wants everyone to have health insurance. Wants everyone to be able to access healthcare. And me and Alex were like, how is that a bad thing? How can you sell that as a negative?
Yeah, it does blow my mind. And yeah, we've had a couple of like minor health scares. But when you think about just the sheer quantity and even the co-pays, so the payments that you have to make here, like you were saying, just to get a doctor's appointment or for various elements of your care, sometimes you'll get a bill through and you'll see the cost that your insurer is covering, typically your employer is covering. And it's kind of crazy. Like Mike fell off his bike a couple of years ago and ended up needing to take an ambulance and having stitches. And the total bill was something like $25,000 for 4 hours.
Yeah. I had a gardening accident last year and cut my fingers quite deeply with a pair of hedge trimmers. Not a good idea. And I think the bill for 10 stitches in my fingers was about $2,000 before the insurance. And then, so we went to A&E, to the emergency room. And, you know, everyone's very nice and they deal with it very quickly. And as the guy's stitching up my fingers, I guess she's a bursar, comes in to take Alex to go make the copay. And then like a few weeks later, we get a bill saying, oh, the doctor that saw you wasn't in network. And I mean, I feel like our health insurance company knows me now because I keep phoning them up and going, hello, I'm English. I don't understand this. What is going on? And they, I was like, so if I go into A&E again, do I have to ask everyone that I come into contact with if they're in network? And the guy was like, pretty much. I mean, it's kind of weird, you know, interrogating your doctor whether they get paid a certain way.
Yeah, it's bonkers. But I don't want to be too down on America or Bellevue.
No, I'm very grateful that we have very nice insurance and that everyone is able to deal with you quickly. I mean, when I fell over and tore my ACL, I did that on the Sunday. By Wednesday, Alex was like, you should go and have that checked. I made an appointment. I was in on the Friday. They had an MRI machine in their building at the orthopedic place. I think that's the right word. And then by the Monday, we'd had the surgery booked in for a few weeks later. There are benefits, I guess, to having to pay for it, but I don't love that everyone has to pay for it to get decent healthcare.
Yeah, 100%. It's bonkers. It blows my mind. And yeah, again, just incredibly grateful for the NHS while we were living in the UK and should we return. So what are some of the things that you enjoy about where you live now?
Seattle is, I mean, I say Seattle. I don't really go into Seattle very much. Alex works downtown, like 2 blocks from Pike Place Market. So that's kind of strange when I think about that. That, you know, somewhere which we've seen on TV so many times. And I mean, even in my business studies class, I remember in year 10, so 98, they showed this management thing about fish. And I can't even remember what it's for, but it was all set around Pike Place Market. The fish market, the place that we went to where they throw the fish around. And it's kind of weird that that's just our local fishmonger.
Yeah, I remember that from, what's that show, The Real World? And it was always in the credits for that.
Yeah, it's strange. So we live on the east side of Lake Washington. And there's a lot of nature around. And like, I know that sounds silly. But I was just on next door and there's people saying about how they've got a mama bear and some baby cubs in their back garden. There's like half a mile from our house. And I'm like, oh my God. And like our Facebook group for the neighborhood, that people be talking about how there's cougars and raccoons. And I'm like, no, that's too much nature. Like the worst you get in the UK is a fox.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There is, it's kind of why, I mean, like, I love the landscape where we live, particularly the West Coast and all the different, nature and animals and, it's kind of amazing. Like, we love the national park system. I always think that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, where we went skiing is 45 minutes down the road. And literally, you come out of our neighbourhood and you're on the motorway and then you just go in a straight line and you're in the mountains. Which is mad. I mean, 45 minutes from Bristol, you don't even get to London.
Oh, where do you get to?
Maybe Glastonbury, because you're going down the back roads. So that takes about 45 minutes.
Unless it's festival weekend and then it's like 5 hours.
Oh yeah, then it's a few hours.
Anything else that you particularly enjoy?
It's just a nice way of life here. We had some friends move out here last year. So one of the guys who was Alex's witness at our wedding, him and his wife moved here from Aberystwyth. And it's been nice showing them what we've learned. So it's a bit easier on them. And it's nice to realise that we're not still, you know, we're not as at square one as we think we are.
Yeah, no, it's nice not to be the newbie. And so in terms of your move, you mentioned it was because of your husband Alex's job and you kind of had help from a real estate agent finding a place to live. In terms of how you feel about migration, immigration, the freedom to move and travel around, how do you feel about that?
I'm very grateful that we have the ability to do that fairly easily. We know we're privileged with the situation that we have. We were in the embassy in December, and it's interesting to see like the sort of people who, I mean, I think from the UK, we're privileged in that way anyway, you know, compared to other countries. It's interesting. I mean, you know, without getting bogged down in all race things, but our neighbours, when we first moved in, they were a bit funny about the fact that our house is owned by some Chinese people, and a lot of the houses that are owned by Chinese people in this neighbourhood tend to be rented out, and they were a bit funny about renters here because they want you to stick around. And it feels like being English, they don't see us as being immigrants. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, I don't know.
No, I definitely think you're right. I think there's a privilege afforded to us because of our nationality and our skin color that we're not seen as threatening or as other in the same way that other nationalities and ethnicities are.
Yeah, I feel like the British and the Irish thing is more sentimentalized. Like, you know, it's always a thing about how Americans will try and find the tiniest bit of ancestry that relates to the UK or whatever.
Right, like St. Patrick's Day, people go mad for. All of a sudden, all Americans are Irish.
Yeah, our neighbourhood has a massive thing. Yeah, it's interesting to see that, but then you kind of feel a bit uncomfortable when you see other stuff on the news about immigrants.
What's it like up there in the Seattle, Bellevue area? Because certainly California and San Francisco in particular, the Bay Area is typically very progressive, I guess, when it comes to immigration, but it varies so wildly, like state by state, city by city.
We have both sides, I feel like, in Washington. I think that the immediate area around Seattle, so, you know, this half, the western half of the state, or even just like the middle bit of where Seattle and then upwards is, I feel like that's quite a progressive area. But then out towards Spokane and all that sort of side, they're more Republican in thinking. And it's interesting because, you know, you see on the local news Facebook page, there's a lot of people who are against, you know, how our governor is dealing with things at the moment. And they disagree with everything he says. And I'm not sure why.
Right. Yeah. I think if this pandemic has kind of taught us anything living in the States, it's absolutely how individual states operate and how there is such a lack of federal control is the wrong word, but guidance, I suppose. Like, so many, like Andrew Cuomo in New York and Gavin Newsom here in California, like, senators and governors really are setting a path forward for how to deal with this rather than a focus on a national level, which I found really surprising. I never really understood the state versus federal political establishment that we have here until this happened.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you get it as well. I mean, you've been here longer, so you probably don't get that as much, but a lot of my friends in the UK will ask, you know, how are you guys getting on over there with, because they only see the federal side of it, you know, so they see when Trump says something about generalizing over the whole country, but I feel like Washington is significantly different to how, say, Florida is dealing with things, you know, with still doing spring break until quite late and that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just the other day, I was on a group Zoom call and someone asked how America was dealing with coronavirus. And I was kind of like, it's impossible to say at a country level because it's so different.
Yeah, it's like saying, how's Europe dealing with it?
Yeah, yeah, it's so, it's such a big, vast country. And I don't think you can really appreciate that until you've spent a significant chunk of time here. I mentioned this earlier in the recording, but you are really active on Twitter and Instagram, and you're one of like the OG bloggers from back in the day. So if anybody wanted to find you or follow your adventures on living abroad, where could they find you?
I talk a lot of nonsense on Twitter, where I'm Hayles, H-A-Y-L-E-S. And on Instagram, I'm Hayley C, H-A-Y-L-E-Y-C. And then all my various bloggery things all link out from there because, well, it'd be mad not to. That's it.
Are there any blogging projects in particular that you're excited about at the moment?
Ish. I just launched a new website called The Glass House, which is offering blogger courses and critiques and mentorships and lots of other things, which is kind of spinning out from my original blogger help website, Bonjour Blogger. It's been fun to get those started again.
Cool. Okay, well, Hayley, thank you so much for joining me and being my first guest for season 3 of Non-Native. And I will make it up to see you in Seattle very soon.
I can't wait. See you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Non-Native. If you like what you heard, subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at ShipshapeBF or over on my blog, shipshapeinbristolfashion.com.